Want to continue the thread on the markets with a look at crude oil right now. Obviously, a lot of movement given the news over the weekend. Brent crude oil up 3%, WTI crude oil up almost 2%. So let's bring in Victoria Green, G Squared Private Wealth founding partner and portfolio manager. Victoria, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. You know, when you take a look at these sectors, the SPDR Energy ETF has really outperformed the market, up 23% over the last 3 months. Given the headlines that we've seen over the weekend, do you want to get in? Do you want to stay away, sideline your money? What's the proper approach here?
We tend to think that commodity-driven areas of the market were a good place to be to offset inflation. And if this happens, then I'd look a lot at the U.S. producers, potentially limiting some of your European oil and gas exposure because they're going to get hit harder. And I think one of the things that can get missed in the discussion on Ukraine and Russia is what is the effect on the U.S. markets? I know it feels bad. I know it feels scary. It's like another, gasoline on the fire to a situation that already felt fraught. But if you think about it, conflict really doesn't often affect the U.S. markets as much as we think it will. So we tend to think right now in an inflationary environment, commodities are a great place to be, especially oil and gas. And I know they've had a good run-up this year. But the question is, what's going to knock them off? Do we really see oil and gas prices coming back down to 70? Even if that happens, the bulk of the E&P producers that we like are in the Permian, and the break-evens are closer to $30 a barrel. So 70 would be fantastic, actually. 100, 150 is not sustainable. It's too much of a drag on the economy. So right now, I think if you look around the market, it still has a great relative value.
Victoria, I wonder if you can elaborate on that point a bit, because I think it's a good point you raise, which is, we see the headlines that say oil going up because of what's happening in Russia. I don't necessarily make that direct line between what it means for U.S. energy markets. Obviously, when you look at a place like Europe, huge exposure in terms of imports on natural gas, oil, and other markets as well. How should investors be processing that news here in the U.S.?
Well, the first thing is never knee-jerk and never panic. If you look at how markets are reacting today, I think it's more about Home Depot's warning than it is about Russia and Ukraine. Our base case is Russia and Ukraine plays out like Georgia did in 08 or Crimea did in 2014. It's remained to be seen if he's going to stay in the separatist regions or not. But what does that mean for U.S. oil and gas? Not to sound completely Machiavellian, but it's not terrible, right? If we're able to produce fuels the rest of the world wants and needs, that's great. We're more hindered by our ability to supply it. LNG, you look at what Cheniere's doing, it's going to be harder for them to actually increase deliveries to Europe and Japan because they're already kind of stretched. So the amount of gas Europe does get from Russia, I think they get about 35% of overall, is very difficult for us to pick up. It's interesting the timing of this invasion because it's kind of coming on the end of winter. So the leverage over oil and gas is a little bit less. But generally speaking, U.S. producers, especially those that are producing heavily in the shale regions, should benefit from increased stability and higher oil prices. The one thing I would caution is Iran is actually out there, and Iran's a bigger risk than war conflict is because Iran has a lot they could bring on the supply side that we'll see how this goes. Talks supposedly are going well. And if we see Iran sanctions come off, that is an unexpected addition of supply, and that could see the market reset a little bit lower for oil and gas.
So, Victoria, just to kind of drill down on that, does that mean that, in your opinion, the news coming out of Iran is actually more important than the fixation on the Nord Stream 2 deal, which apparently Germany said they'll halt?
So just again, to push back, what does Nord Stream do to help our U.S. oil and gas producers, right? Nord Stream 2 is just applying more gas from Russia to Europe. So if they halt that, again, it's not like we can easily transport gas over to Europe. And right now, we're more hindered by our ability to get it to Europe than we are by our ability to produce it. So yes, I think for U.S., we're looking more at Iran and their ability to destabilize the market some, because OPEC has signaled they are not increasing. Even at $100 a barrel, they are very fine to keep their slow and steady, and they're actually missing and underperforming their targets. Most of their OPEC plus community members undersupplied because they had issues with their own countries and with getting distribution out. So Iran comes on, that could certainly see prices come down, which we want, right? We don't want this market to overheat. We don't want this market to bubble. So if we could see prices back down in the 60s to 80s level, that's much more sustainable because the drag on the consumer is less. Energy at $100, everybody's feeling pain at the pump. It hurts on inflation, and it's just not sustainable. So as you see these $100, $120 predictions, it's very hard for the U.S. consumer.
So Victoria, what do you like in the oil patch? Or let's broaden it out to energy. Give me three names.
All right, so I'm a big fan of shareholder-friendly energy. So my top picks in that space are Devon, EOG, and Diamondback, because they are just committed to pushing capital to shareholders. They refuse to really increase their drilling. You should have heard Devon on their earnings call. They basically were like, nope, no CapEx. Doesn't matter how much oil goes up. We're not going to produce more. You know, they're basically flat on CapEx. So their job, as Devon sees it, is to push capital back through share buybacks and their fixed and variable dividend. So I like these plays. Action. Because not only do you see
Sorry, just finish your thought, Victoria. Your connection just cut out right there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Devon, EOG, and Fang with their fixed plus variable dividends, they're pushing shareholder capital great. So I look at that. I can see some price appreciation still, as well as the ability to get the variable dividend of up to 50% of free cash flow. I think those are great picks in this space. And even if prices come down on oil, you're still seeing them generate a huge amount of free capital.
Victoria Green, G Squared, private wealth founding partner and portfolio manager. Good to talk to you today.